back on Downtown on a Monday afternoon. Did you watch the Patriots yesterday? Worst team you've seen? No, not at all. Chad Finn of the Boston Globe is here to tell us that even young man that he is, he's seen worse than this. Hello there, Chad.
Hello there, Rich. I have seen worse, although the memory has faded quite a bit in all these years. It's been a while.
We have to go back to the glorious Rod Rust era, huh?
Yeah, that 1990 Patriots team is the worst Patriots team I've seen. They had anybody who was around then probably would agree. I was at UMaine then, so my recollections are pretty vague of it, but minus 265 point differential. They scored only 188 points all season. They had only four rushing touchdowns. John Stevens was the Ramondre Stevenson of that team, a good back with no chance. That complete team was the worst I think we'll ever see for the Patriots. It's one of the worst in NFL history. But this offense is making an argument that it's just as bad as that one, which is something I never thought I would say from a team that Bill Belichick is even tangentially involved with.
And making some history, too. The first team since 1938 to lose three straight games when they allowed 10 points or less.
Yeah, I guess that's the is that the glass half full? Even though they lost all those, that there are actually some pretty good players on this defense who haven't folded up the tent and still continue to show up every Sunday or Thursday. I guess it'll be this week. It's a team that needs an immense talent infusion on offense, pretty much everywhere: quarterback, offensive line, particularly left tackle. And, of course, about five wide receivers. But defensively, you look at this defense and you say, Judon, Christian Gonzalez, and the guys who have hung in there this year, the emergence of Barmore, Jelani Tavai's had a really nice season, Bentley's just a rock. There's a lot of good pieces there, and it's unfortunate for them that the offense really doesn't belong on an NFL field.
And it's hard to say this, as bad as they were, but I still thought they moved the ball a little bit better with Bailey Zappe than they did with Mac Jones. But, man, the poor guy, nobody that can catch, or if they catch, they can't keep 2 feet in bounds. And, again, nobody to block for him. And then they lose Stevenson, and you realize, why Dallas was ready to wave goodbye to Ezekiel Elliott.
Yeah, I think the game plan was just handed to Stevenson 40 times. That's what it felt like. He had 9 carries with 4.5 minutes left when he got hurt in the first quarter. That's as many as he had against the Commanders 3 weeks ago. So they were seemed like they were intent on running him and Elliott, in relief into the ground, and that game plan had to be deviated from. But Zappe, he didn't turn the ball over. That's a positive. Hit a couple of plays, 21-yarder, 27-yarder to Parker, and threw in that really nice ball. Mac did this a few times too, we should say, when he had over the course of his season, where he'd throw a nice ball and the receiver just wouldn't make a play. That happened with Thornton. But Zappe was okay. He's not very accurate, and it was a hard time seeing over the line sometimes. I think the performance yesterday was probably about what you could have hoped for from him, and I know that's low praise, but it's sort of praise. He gave them a chance to win the game.
Well, and the defense keeps on doing that, and as you said, there wasn't a lot of positives out there, but certainly one that you highlighted in your review of the game is the play of Jonathan Jones.
Yeah, he did a great job. So did J.C. Jackson, actually, playing against the team that released him. Both those guys never came off the field for a single snap because Sean Wade got sick early. He was kind of the rotational cornerback there. I know Miles Bryant, the fifth defensive back often. And they buried Marte Mapu after the first quarter. He messed something up and didn't see the field again. So your defensive backs were pretty much set, especially a cornerback. And Jones did a terrific job on Keenan Allen, who's won over 100 catches for the season, having probably the best season of his career. He'll have the best statistics of his career when it's over. And Jones, again, he's just a guy who's not not very celebrated. I don't think he's looked at around the league as this great cornerback, but he comes up with these games where he'll just shut down a good player. He's done it with Tyreek Hill a couple of times over the course of his career, who nobody shuts down anymore. Patriots held him to 40 yards the first time they played him this year. But, Jones had a really nice game. He's another one of those just solid players on the Patriots defense.
The NFL can't figure out a way to flex them out of that Thursday night game?
Can we flex them out of the last five games? They're writing about them. I just want to write about the Celtics, and if the Red Sox do anything here. But, looks like we're going to be stuck with that one. At least they got them out of the Kansas City game out of there, which I'm sure infuriates Patriots ownership, because Robert Kraft is as powerful as anybody with the television committee, and he's actually – kind of irony with this is he's somebody who's really driven the league's plan or adjustments, I guess, to be able to flex more often. Used to be much more rigid, and that added flexibility has backfired on his team. I don't think he ever thought his team would be the one getting flexed out of Monday Night Football, but here we are.
Chad Finn with us here on Downtown. Hey, let's talk about those Boston Celtics. I know I'm a traitor to my demographic group if I say this, but yeah, I kind of like the in-season tournament.
Yeah, I don't know what the age cutoff is, but we're supposed to hate it.
Right.
I like it too. Didn't at first, but as you got into it, and particularly that night where they had to beat the Bulls by 23 points or more and needed some help from Brooklyn. And it kind of felt like the NCAA tournament a little bit. I never anticipated it having that kind of vibe to it, but I watched the NBC Sports broadcast, Boston broadcast mostly, but you flip over to, it's either TNT or NBA TV, and they have the little scores up on top of like a ticker of how everybody's doing. And it was, kind of reminiscent of the first day of, March Madness, and obviously it's not of that magnitude, but it's generated a lot of buzz, and I think you have to already call this a win for Adam Silver. I think the players care about it. They have $500,000 reasons each to do so, and it's really caught on with the fans, which is pretty cool.
And who knows, ultimately it's going to depend how they do in postseason to judge the big offseason moves, but boy, I like what I've seen so far from Porzingis. It's just fun to have a guy with his unique skill set out there.
Yeah, it is. It's a cheat code, really. Mm. If they would use it a little bit more. I've got my beef with Jaylen Brown still a little bit here about the way he's playing. He really hasn't stacked. He's shooting more threes than he did last year, which really isn't necessary. The game should be easier for him with Porzingis out there. And what they need to do, and they've done it a few times, is in a tight game when they're getting locked down in the perimeter, I mean, just post up Porzingis. He's great scoring down there, but he's also really good at kicking the ball out. A much better passer than I anticipated, and just the ideal fit for what they need. It's something they didn't have last year. I loved Rob Williams, but obviously this doesn't have that kind of post game. Just hopefully they utilize it right and more often, because he's really an asset for this team.
Winter meetings are underway and a lot on the plate for Craig Breslow, but already we're hearing, well, the Sox aren't really in on Ohtani anymore. Maybe they're no longer the front runner for Yamamoto. Why do I feel like this is going to end up with Eddie Rodriguez coming back to Boston?
That one I don't get, too. You know, he's perceived as this real high-end starter, but I think we got a pretty good idea for what he is here. He's a good pitcher for sure, but he has his unreliable moments, and he had them with Detroit too. Gone for personal matters for what, a good part of the 2022 season. Very good last year, but contract year. I don't think that's the solution by any means. I do think what ends up happening here, they sign one guy. They really want Yamamoto. That's real. If it doesn't work out there, and I feel like he's going to have so many options that he's really going to pick the city that he wants to live in rather than the team that throws the most money at him. I believe they'll end up with Jordan Montgomery. I think that's highly likely, and end up making a trade for another starter. Some pretty interesting names available, if it's Shane Bieber, Dylan Cease, somebody like that. I think that's the way it's going to break down, where they sign one, maybe not the biggest name, and then go out and make a deal for another.
Well, I'm okay with that. And then, you know, offensively, not a terrible team, depending on what happens with Verdugo. I do feel like defensively there are some holes. It sure would help them if they could get a decent everyday second baseman somewhere.
Yeah, they definitely need that. I don't know what the long-term plan is. I mean, you know, Myers run into a few roadblocks with injuries and struggled a little bit with breaking balls when he was in Portland last summer. The long-term plan seems to be to have him play shortstop and have Trevor Story move to second base, but his arrival might not happen as soon as maybe some fans anticipated. It might take a little bit longer. So in the meantime, you got to go out and get a second baseman. I think that's pretty high on the wish list right now. I know my colleague Peter Abraham suggested Brandon Drury with the Angels. He's a very solid player. He would help the Red Sox in a few different ways. There'll be other options like that as well. But you know, the other aspect with that lineup is just too many DHs.
Mm.
Probably one reason why they're not really in on Ohtani. He doesn't play a position. Well, you know, Devers is kind of a DH at third base. Yoshida is a DH in left field. You know, Justin Turner, who probably won't be back because he's a DH, which is too bad because he's really good here. So they got to find somebody who can play every day and play competent defense at one position or another.
I remember getting a subscription to Sports Illustrated as a Christmas present when I was about 9 years old. Had that forever and ever, and feel like I grew up in the glory days of sports publications with Sports Illustrated, Sports, the Sporting News. And now, boy, you wrote about it yesterday. This seems like the lowest of the lows for the once great Sports Illustrated.
Yeah, it's just if you grew up with it, and I don't know when the dividing point is for that, but it's through the 90s at least, where you anticipated getting Sports Illustrated in the mail every Thursday. And I mentioned like reading Rick Riley's column at the back. He kind of became a caricature a little bit as a writer, but he was as good as anybody for a long time. And just if you grew up in the 70s, 80s, 90s, you can think of stories that affected you that are still in your head. Just all kinds of them, and the writers that wrote them. And that's long gone. You know, it's a monthly. It's got ownership that just does not care about journalism or the product. It's about the brand. It's about licensing Sports Illustrated for supplements and things like that, and using the name that it built up over the years, and the credibility it built up to sell things. And it's a shame, but, you know, there are really two things that happened that just reveal what a joke it was. Is the AI thing being the worst.
Mm.
You know, Sanders is Sportsman of the Year for a 4-8 team. I think that tells you how out of touch they are, too.
Chad Finn of the Boston Globe, Boston.com, with us here on a Monday afternoon. Chad, great talking with you as always. Hope the rest of your week goes well, and we'll check in with you again before too long.
Patriots don't play on Thursday, right? We got a little bit of break with these guys. I don't have to write a preview tomorrow, do I?
I'm sorry to break it to you.
Oh, boy.
You'll make it right. You'll make it special. That's why you're Chad Finn, damn it. You can do this.
Yeah, if they want to cut my space on this, I think I'd be all right with it.
We wish you luck putting lipstick on that pig. Thank you, Chad.
Seriously.
See you. Chad Finn of the Boston Globe with us here on Downtown.